So as I said, today we are reaffirming 8 elders. We are adding 4 more. And some of you might wonder what that's about. Let me say a bit about that. We are an elder-led church, and we join many churches whose reading of Scripture leads us to believe that plural leadership in a church is best. Not one person who's in charge of everything, but a group of wise men who are leading this church. And so we are excited for this moment to do that. At the beginning of this process, several months ago, we talked a little bit about what we want in elders and what elders do. We talked about the Scriptures, where Paul lays out qualities of elders in 1 Timothy and in Titus. And he talks about the importance of their demeanor and their ethics, their marriage and family life, their community reputation, their service. And Paul says, we're looking for people who embody the best elements of these things. And we talked about what elders do. What do these men do when they're appointed to lead a church? Well, they provide spiritual leadership. They safeguard doctrine and protect from false teaching, and they direct the works of the church. So those were the kinds of leadership abilities we were looking for. But most of all, we said, we want leaders who are already shepherding. That is the image that we use for elders. Scripture uses that image. We want people who are already seen as able to do these things, who are already doing these things in the life of the church. And when you think shepherd, don't just think serene pasture, beautiful day, like playing a lute or something like that. That's not what we mean. Sometimes shepherding has to be assertive and demonstrate some strength to protect the sheep from threats and to be involved in the difficult parts of their lives. One thing being a shepherd in a church is not, is a way to gain a lot of power and prestige. It's often thankless work, a lot of behind-the-scenes things that some of us might not see. It's volunteer work that doesn't always get a lot of credit. But that's what Jesus calls the leaders of his church to do. That's really what he calls all of us to do. In Mark chapter 10, Jesus is talking with his disciples, and he is predicting the difficult death that he will endure. He talks about the questionings by the authorities and the beatings and the crucifixion. And then he says he'll be raised on the third day. A difficult arc of a story that he speaks to his followers. And among all the emotions they might have and among all the responses they might have, James and John have sort of the weirdest response. It's not, oh wow, that will never happen to you, like some disciples say. And it's not, that's terrible, but I'm glad there is good news ahead. No, that's not James and John's response to hearing Jesus say, I'm going to be killed horribly and then I will rise on the third day. James and John say to him, that's great. We got something we want you to do for us. When you're in glory, we want you to put one of us at your left hand and one of us at your right hand. Strange request. And all the disciples who are hearing their peers ask this, they are indignant. And again, we might think, well, they're indignant because they think, how dare you ask something like that? That's inappropriate. How egotistical. But the way Jesus responds to this request lets us know that they're indignant response is because they kind of want it to be them instead. Like, I'm mad that they got to that request first. And so Jesus uses this as a teachable moment, and instead of just talking to James and John, he gathers all of them and he says, you know, I need to respond to this request to all of you. Jesus says in Mark chapter 10 verse 42 to all his followers, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must first be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So Jesus responds this way because he knows the world they live in. He knows the world we live in. It's a world where people lord their authority over others. It's a world where people parade their titles and flaunt their status to get what they want. You know the ones. You see them all the time. It's the manager who reminds everyone he's the boss. It's the colleague who copies the VP on every email to show how important she is. It's the thought leader who's always quoting himself. The middle manager who makes sure you know that he's in charge. It's the C-suite exec who leads every meeting with her resume. It's the person whose LinkedIn reads like a corporate Oscars speech. The humble bragger whose posts always seem to end with LinkedIn bio. It's the ones who are more interested in being honored than in helping. It's the ones more concerned with being noticed than with serving. And Jesus says, they may do that, but not so with you. Jesus is giving them, and he's giving us a different version of greatness. Let me tell you about that different version of greatness that I have seen at work among our elders. I've seen an elder and his wife teaching three-year-olds for years. I've seen elders driving 3 hours both ways in a single day to attend a funeral. I've seen elders sitting at the hospital for hours providing comforting presence to worried family members. I've seen elders in constant prayer and even in deep anxiety facing tricky pastoral matters. I've seen elders coming to our monthly meetings armed with a long list of people they've been talking with the past several weeks and begging us to keep these people in prayer. I've seen elders taking a week of vacation from their jobs to go build houses in Guatemala. I've seen elders doing quiet, unassuming, no spotlight kind of work because that's what they signed up for. That's what God has asked them to do. That's what shepherding looks like. It's behind the scenes prayer and pastoral care. It's unnoticed and unannounced acts of care and concern. It is expecting no big fanfare, no power, and no prestige. In one of the final scenes of the final Lord of the Rings movie, Aragorn is finally crowned king. And all the thousands of people are gathered for this moment. And the crown goes on his head, and the group of people bows to him. And Aragorn goes over and sees our four hobbit friends bowing to him. And if you've seen the movie, you remember this scene. And he goes over to the hobbits and he says, "My friends, you bow to no one." And the mighty King Aragorn bows down to these hobbits. That's the kind of leadership we're called to in Jesus' church. It's leaders that don't demand the bows of others, but leaders who stoop and who serve. So maybe out there, the world bows to ego. Not so with you. Maybe out there, the world serves ambition. Not so with you. Maybe out there, the world plays the game. Not so with you. Not in Christ's church.